from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Ours is a new love, but it burns very brightly. It gets hot and sweaty and stanky. There's some stank on that love.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You think you're going to find somebody that's going to be like psyched to go to Applebee's with you every Friday night and hear the same football stories about how you rocked in high school?
I did rock in high school football. You want to check tape?
And Brendan Sprague.
You know about the cup sizes and all?
I have different cups.
Yeah, I know about the cup.
You got the A, B, the C, the D. That's the biggest.
I know the D is the biggest. I based my whole life on knowing that the D is the biggest.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course,
hooray,
YouTube. Good morning, YouTube. Good morning to the world.
The big wood's still in here?
The big wood is still in here.
Still got our big wood. It's still here.
We still got it.
We'll see if anybody's laying the... We got our big pee-pee today. Are we laying big wood today? We'll find out.
Yeah, the big wood was the only game that didn't cash for me on that.
Well, they were all technically big woods, but different... Mine was the biggest wood.
Yes.
Don't pull that. Or you could pull that. But they were all big woods, technically.
Yeah, a lot of big pee-pees last week.
Yeah.
We took all the big pee-pees, but only two big pee-pees ended up being big.
So far, the state of Washington...
Yeah.
Bigger.
2-0?
Bigger. We're 0-2.
We are the little brother.
They're 2-0. We're the little brother state right now. We've got to correct that this weekend.
We got to stop being the little pee-pees. We got
right.
The big pee-pee this Thursday morning.
That's the goal in week two.
We will get to that. If you're new to the show and you're hearing this, it probably sounds a little odd what we're talking about. We make... traditionally, we make Pac-12 picks, but the Pac-12 is no longer the Pac-12 as we knew it.
No.
But it's two teams. They're local. And now we got two other local teams in the Big Ten, so it's a mixture of the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and so we just call it the Big Pac Picks,
and
the Big Pee-Pee.
It's got to have an acronym. Everything needs an acronym. It's just easier to say, you know?
Why the sales staff hasn't sold that yet,
I don't know.
Big Pee-Pee is just easy.
Easy branding.
You want to do something on the radio?
Bring Dr. Snip back.
Yes.
What are they doing?
Hey. Yeah, Dr. Scooter, where are you at? Here's Dr. Scooter here for your Big Pee-Pee picks.
Are you having bladder issues? Brought to you by the Big Pee-Pee.
By catheters.
The NFL is back, gentlemen. We
did it. God, I can't wait for tonight.
The better football is back in our lives. No longer have to watch all these dumber college games.
How dare you?
I mean, look, you know it's true. You love your team, but we know it's true.
The matchups are better.
Every week we get great matchups, and even the bad matchups end up becoming somewhat interesting because Scott Hansen for 7 hours of commercial-free football.
When that's back on my TV Sunday, I might cry. When I see Scott Hansen, when that countdown clock is coming down,
yes,
and it's 15, 14, 13, I'm going to be sitting in my living room just bawling like a baby.
I have it on for the final 5 minutes.
I do too.
I have a 5 minute countdown clock.
I'm going to go controversial. I might turn that thing on at like 8:30 in the morning and just have the music playing in the background all day. Like, I just might have it on the second I wake up and just, I don't need any pregame shows. I don't care what any of these idiots have to say. I just want the music and give me the countdown clock. I remember one year, the wife wanted to go do something on a Sunday morning kickoff. I'm like, all right, but we got to be back. We got to be back. And I missed the first countdown clock of the year.
No, you did.
I was upset. We were in a fight for months, man. I'm like, I'm never going to forget this in the history of our marriage.
I don't know if I would have ever forgiven that.
You can't miss the first countdown clock of the year. Okay. Mightily important on that first Sunday.
I might have had to have gone to Camas this Sunday to pick up. My stepdad died, and so he had a car. And so I'm basically helping my cousin get rid of it. And so I said, I'll take it to my house. I said, but I will be at your house in Camas. I will be there at 7 a.m.
I am not getting that car. Second later than that.
And we're coming home. So I ain't missing anything. I end up not having to go this weekend because the car won't start. But nonetheless, like
the
whatever
point remains.
I have a routine Sunday. I get up, do a little yoga, and then we go to the grocery store, get a couple things, get back, and it's only 7 a.m., and I'm just like, oh, I'm in heaven. Oh, countdown.
Locking in your parlays, one final scroll through before the games kick off. Ooh, that line's enticing.
It's disgusting how happy this sport makes
me. We might have to go the Full Boat Restaurant French Toast here on Sunday.
Oh.
Spike the whipped cream.
I'm not mad at I still haven't had my French Toast. That was my Hood to Coast meal, and I still have not had French Toast.
I think Sunday's the day, then.
I think you've talked me into what my Sunday
thing
gotta
is. You got to get the brioche bread at Trader Joe's. Yeah.
You got a little powdered sugar? You a powdered sugar guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got powdered sugar right on top.
I dump the amaretto into the egg wash, the amaretto into the whipped cream, get the big mixer out, spike my whipped cream.
I hate to
fresh
disappoint.
Fresh berries, toasted almonds.
Probably can't do this homemade whipped cream. Yeah, I'm more of a homemade whipped cream fan. The kids are just tyrants. They're just the worst.
They don't want to partake in that.
We got to put a couple of teaspoons of powdered sugar in that to give it a little sweetness.
Dude, I put more than you'd care to guess sweets in those whipped cream, and I'm like, Jesus, it's amazing.
This tastes fantastic.
And they're like, it's not a can. And I'm just like, oh, I hate you. My kids are so damn picky
now.
What
do they want? Cool whip?
Yeah,
it's
probably.
Just like every dinner or meal, there's something to complain. Oh.
You freeloaders. Why don't you pay your fair share around here, huh?
There's not enough salt. There's too much salt. It's spicy. There's pepper. There's no pepper. There's pepper. Shut up.
Never-ending complaints.
I ate tuna helper. You think I liked that?
Exactly.
No, but it was on the table. It was my dinner, damn it.
This is what you eat. You come home, what's on the
Papa
menu?
Swag's,
that's what you eat.
It was Papa Swag's bastardized beef stroganoff that drove me to figure out how to cook.
It makes you better in
many
ways.
Don't like the salt, then yeah, hey, you cook your own dinner, whatever you want to make. You cook it on your own.
That's what my dad said. He's like, that's what I'm fixing. You want something else, make it yourself.
You cook it.
Damn it, I found a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese when I was 10.
If you put a camera on my face at dinner almost every night, you will see me with like a half my life's awful look on my face eating my own food. Because I'm like, this is...
Tastes great to me.
It's better than almost anything my mom ever made.
Yes.
And you guys are complaining because there's too many chives or the sour cream or... God, this sucks. What do I waste all this time for?
Never ends. You might as well just give them dino nuggies and move on.
About had it.
I'll make my own dinner, and here you go. I'll throw something in the oven for you for 30 minutes, and that's what you're going to eat.
Delightful salmon steaks and grilled asparagus last night.
I wish they liked that. But
asparagus.
Oh, it's gross, man. Doesn't smell good.
It's just too chewy.
It's slimy.
My pee stinks.
Shut up. Shut up, you little... dorks.
That is the wildest thing. That first pee after eating asparagus, it still hits me to this day.
Yeah, I'm proud of it.
Okay.
Look at me. I'm eating healthy. Smell that? That's health.
Smell that urine?
That's health.
That's good.
That's weakness leaving the body right now.
That's strong pee right there.
Nutrients, exactly. My friend.
Yeah. NFL is back. As you can tell, we're excited. And we get Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. Not the matchup I was rooting for. I wanted it to be Texans and Chiefs because the Stroud hype, year two. We've seen the Baltimore-Kansas City game, but it's here. I'm still going to be jacked once it kicks off. A quick note on this. So Kansas City is a 3-point favorite.
They are.
Lamar Jackson, in his career, 12-1-1 as an underdog in the regular season. And, you know, it's not that gambling needs to be the entire segment and conversation around this game. I got a stat about Patrick Mahomes I want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw that stat yesterday, and I laugh when I go, people actually still debate if he is, like, a great quarterback. And I'm like...
Your brains are broken,
I get that they're a good organization. They have good defense. I totally am acknowledging that. no great quarterback is great unless the team is good.
Yes.
12-1-1 as an underdog. Like, this dude just delivers time and time again when you think he's not going to. I don't know if they'll win tonight or even cover. It's just a little, you know, a little stat about Lamar that I just chuckle. And I'm like, I remember arguing with people about not paying Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Oh, he only has this many playoff wins. Okay. Who wins Super Bowls? It's like one team winning Super Bowls right now.
There's one guy. I mean, we went through the numbers the other day, and we forgot a couple of quarterbacks in the mix, but there's not many quarterbacks, active quarterbacks with a Super Bowl ring. Aaron Rodgers is on the brink of retiring, so you'll eliminate another one from that list unless you create one this year. The whole argument about quarterbacks is just funny to me. Like, the show before us was having this big debate about which quarterback has more pressure, and they were throwing different guys out, C.J. Stroud or Jordan Love or Caleb Williams.
Caleb or Jordan,
right, Caleb Williams or Jordan,
like,
Love.
Both?
Lamar, all these guys have every year. The only guy you can argue in the NFL who doesn't have any pressure is Patrick Mahomes, because he's done it all.
Absolutely.
And if he doesn't win a Super Bowl this year, nobody's going to be like, I don't know, man, what's wrong with Kansas City? Although, during the regular season, off of a Super Bowl last year, what did we ask almost on a weekly basis? What the hell's up with Kansas City, man?
They had a bad offense.
Why doesn't Mahomes look good anymore? Is he broken? Is it too much Taylor Swift? Like, those were the narratives we had. But if he doesn't win, nobody will freak out this year. Everybody else has a ton of pressure on them. I just hate how you appreciate the greatness of guys like Brady and guys like Mahomes, who clearly stand above and beyond everybody else in their eras in terms of accomplishments. I hate how it breaks our brain on every other quarterback. That's the most frustrating thing to me. Like, Lamar Jackson is a bona fide star in this league. He's a multi-MVP. His numbers last year were through the roof. He was an efficient thrower of the football, highest completion percentage he'd ever had in his career. I believe the most attempts he'd ever had in his career, the most yards he'd ever had in his career. Like, their passing game took it to another level. They made it all the way to an AFC championship game. They had some fluky fumbles and some bad luck, and Kansas City was a damn good team, and they fell short by a field goal.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't know, man. This guy's not very good. It's like, well, it's not his fault a wide receiver fumbled into the end zone during that game. That wasn't Lamar's fault. So some of the narratives drive me nuts. I'm excited and jacked to watch him play and to see what Derrick Henry looks like in that offense. I'm fired up to watch these two teams who I think most people would agree probably coming into the year, based off last year, at least at the start of the season, the two best teams in the AFC.
The cream of the crop.
Cream of the crop in the AFC.
Until we see what all these other teams,
Cincinnati, Houston, right, Buffalo, what everybody else looks like.
The thing about that game, so it's funny to go back and look at that box score. Lamar wasn't good. And my thing is, like, I think it's okay to say, like, oh, so-and-so, they just didn't play very well.
What a bad game.
Concluding that you can't win anything with that guy, that's where you lose me. Barkley had this comment. Charles Barkley was talking about this with Bill Simmons. And he's like, it's one thing to be critical or have an opinion. It's another to be completely unfair.
Yeah.
And some of our takes end up being way wrong, or the opinion doesn't age well. I just always pride our show of, like, saying, oh, dude, what an idiotic move or take by us.
Whiffed on that one.
And, like, to just, it's a dishonest conversation when talking about Lamar for some, of, like, how good or great he is. No, he's really stinking good. He's a lot of fun to watch. He didn't have a good AFC title game. To your point, though, say Flowers doesn't fumble at the half-yard line into the end zone,
maybe you win the game.
Maybe we feel different. Also, do we not remember, they ran it a total of six times.
Yeah, they couldn't run the football, and they didn't try to run the football.
Like, DJ, we've talked about DJ's struggles. We know what DJ is in college. It also doesn't help his defensive line's trash, and they rushed for 20 yards against Boston College. Those are things that do matter in the grand scheme of conversation. And so it's just like with Lamar and Patrick Mahomes, these two franchises, Baltimore's been run one of the best organizations for, I mean, this goes back to the Brady Belichick start almost, right? Mm-hmm. Like, since Ray Lewis, they had a couple down years and they tried it with Kyle Bowler, and then they got Joe Flacco and it took back off. And so outside of a couple seasons, they've really been as consistent a franchise as you could ask for 20 plus years.
They have.
And Lamar has been outstanding for them. Mahomes last year, you bring up last season and how we kind of freaked out, and we definitely came into the show Mondays and Tuesdays or whatever and said, what's up, man? I don't know about this.
Their offense sucked at times during the year.
I would argue deservedly so.
Yeah.
And Kansas City Chief fan, I think if they were honest with themselves, would say, yeah, I was also doing that because the defense was clearly great. But the offense sucked. Here's an example. Mahomes last year threw 60 passes, 20 or more air yards in 2023. 60.
Down the field.
He completed 17 of them. That stat courtesy of True Media. Like, just that stat right there tells me did not have explosive push it down the field plays happen very often for them. And a reminder of like, oh yeah, their defense largely carried them all of last year.
Including in the playoffs.
And they won't have Hollywood Brown tonight, but they've got Hollywood Brown now on that receiving core. They went and got Worthy, who was the fastest guy, and everybody's hyped on what he's going to be at the deep ball. And Kelsey's going to come back. I think he's going to kind of load manage a little bit. So I think both teams, Lamar and Baltimore, are going to be after a 13-4 season and losing at home in the AFC title game. And then offensively, I still have some questions opposite Trent McDuffie defensively for Kansas City. They didn't establish a clear second cornerback. They lost L'Jarius Sneed. I talked about that while you were gone, of just like, hey, is this a bigger deal than people are talking about? Because he's awesome.
Yeah, one of those under-the-radar moves that you don't get a lot of attention but ends up paying dividends.
But offensively, they were not good last year. No. And you can see it with just – that's just one stat. We all watched it, and now we wonder – did they correct all the problems they had last year offensively?
Well, your point on Sneed, too, I would argue, and this is, I'm not trying to take anything away from Mahomes. Everybody knows he's the greatest in this generation and maybe the greatest we've ever seen. He was carried in the playoffs last year by his defense, and that's okay to say. Like, Brady had Super Bowls where he was carried by his defense, and he didn't do a lot in the postseason, but he got a ring, and that's the way that the game works. We give the credit to the quarterback. Their defense was outstanding against Baltimore. And let's also not overlook the fact that San Francisco had one of the better offensive units in the NFL. They forced the fumble on the opening drive. They got some lucky breaks, a block PAT, a drop punt, sure, but that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. Their defense largely carried them in that game. Outside of an opening drive for the 49ers and a trick play, they couldn't really move the ball at all. And then Kansas City wakes up and they get going late in the game, courtesy of a couple of turnovers. So their defense carried them at times last year. We'll see if that can be the same case this year. I think what's exciting is there are going to be some subtractions, obviously, and we'll see how Kansas City's defense is affected by that. But you mentioned some of the new additions. Like, I brought up Derrick Henry in Baltimore. What does that do for the run game? What are they like in the fourth quarter when he's coming downhill and you got to tackle that guy and they're trying to milk the clock with a four-point lead, and good luck stopping that on second and three or third and four? And then on the other side, Kansas City has desperately missed a deep threat. And do they have that this year? It's one thing to have training camp highlights. Xavier Worthy had a lot of them in August. But now the game start, and are you truly the game breaker that they're looking for and that they've been missing since Tyreek Hill has been gone? That's the scariest notion of all of this, though, if you see that tonight. Is their defense might not be as good as it was last year, should still be very good. They have the best quarterback in the entire league. They have arguably the best head coach in the entire league. Really, the only thing they've been missing is that down-the-field threat in the last couple of years.
Since Hill left,
and they still have won two Super Bowls without that down-the-field threat. And if you add that threat back into this offense, that's the fear factor that exists for me tonight, but it's why I'm so excited to watch the game.
I got some other NFL nuggets I want to get to. I also want to ask this question going into the break that we can talk about. Is it good for the NFL to have a three-peat? Or is this... it's good in basketball, the people, to have these dynasty runs. Is it good in football? Next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You can always reach the show or the radio station at the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at Vancouver Ford. Dirt and Sprague.com for more details. Good morning. It is your morning coffee roasters, your coffee boys, Dirt and Sprague here.
Ready to roast you. How about this at the Vancouver Ford text line? Sure. Morning, gentlemen. We're rolling into today on a pretty good high.
Oh, yeah.
Went to A&A last night to make some division winner parlay picks.
Hell yeah, there brother. We go.
Afterwards, sat down at a machine with the wife, put $40 in, hit a bonus for $10K on a $1.60 bet. Thank goodness for football season.
Well done.
How about that? Wow. How about that start to your football season right there?
God, I'd cry if I won 10K.
That's a good little feeling right there on a Wednesday night.
Not for a bankroll for the season.
How do you get out of paying taxes on that? You just keep it in your pocket the whole time?
Well, you don't tell radio stations that broadcast. That would be the first time.
I don't know. We don't know his identity. I don't have a name. I don't know what it is.
How are you buying groceries? Go to the vault. The money's in the vault.
The money's in there. Can I take that to the grocery store? My chips? Can I take, here's a $100 chip from A&A.
I don't know if
that work?
That level, like the casino has to report something to the IRS?
I would imagine with 10K they would have to say something.
I think it's like over $600 or something.
Usually, I know the lottery, like if you win over $650 bucks, you got to fill some extra stuff out.
I get that on my, every Sunday I do the $1 parlay on every game just because it's fun. You never win it, but it's just fun to think about. And when you lock in the bet, you get the reminder of like, if you win this bet, it will be blah, 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 blah. You're like, yeah, don't worry. It's not going to hit, but you know, I'm just here for entertainment. All right.
Sam doesn't need that G.
No.
Let me have that G.
They're doing just fine.
Is a three-peat good for the NFL? The NBA long has these conversations when you get dynasty runs, and that's basically all basketball's given us, even though we're in a stretch of not having repeat champions. People make arguments, they point to ratings and viewership and say, it's a good thing for the NBA to have dominance. The Celtics, the Bulls, the Heat, or who the Warriors, whoever it is at any one point of the NBA, it's always been made. It's good for the NBA. We haven't had a three-peat since the 60s Packers. This does not happen.
It's been that long.
Not in the Super Bowl era.
Not in the Super Bowl era.
Cowboys were 3 out of 4, right?
Three out of four.
Yep.
Did the Patriots do 3 out of 4?
The Patriots did
3 out of 4,
because I think they won it, they missed, and then they repeated.
And the Steelers went back-to-back twice in the 70s. I can't remember if it was in 5 or 6.
But they had a split up in between
those. But then, not 3 in a row.
So we haven't had a three-peat since the 60s Packers. Many wouldn't even count that.
Not counting it.
No offense.
That was before the merger.
It's a world championship or a
football NFL
title.
I got a rule. If Swag was only 14 years old
doesn't
when
count.
It happened, it does not count.
It doesn't count. If he was in middle school, it doesn't count.
Yeah, sure you weren't. Is it good for the NFL to have a three-peat? This is the juggernaut of our country. This is the lifeblood sports-wise of our nation.
It is.
Everybody gets like 10 to 20 million viewers per game. Is a three-peat good for the NFL, or does it not matter at all?
Here's the hard part is I think there's a truth to both answers, right? Like, the NFL is immune to literally anything. You could give us who are the two most irrelevant teams in the NFL?
Ooh,
I mean,
the Cardinals.
Cardinals versus Jags in the Super Bowl? How about that matchup? And you're getting 150, like how, you know, like the numbers are through the roof. It's the Super
it'll
Bowl.
It'll be down, though, from previous years.
Just maybe slightly, but you're still setting all sorts of records, and the playoff ratings would be through the roof, and you're not going to hit Mahomes' numbers, but nobody's going to have a question of, why are only 9 million people watching your championship? Like, the NBA and baseball need this. You need markets, stars, you need something to draw the fan in, you need an extra selling point, and the Arizona Diamondbacks and Texas Rangers were not that last year in the World Series. Football's not that way. But what I would add to it is, if Mahomes does win this year and they pull off the three-peat, the fodder for media narratives and the conversations that will exist will absolutely benefit the NFL. Because it'll be, if he wins this year, I think he's people are, it's like,
it's the, goat. You're
goat.
You're getting into goat.
You're
stuff.
The goat. If that's
you've
number
done
four,
nobody's done.
You did 3 in a row. Yeah. That's, we've never seen that before. Brady
Bart
didn't even
Starr.
Do that. Like, that
hey,
doesn't count.
We're pushing 60 years of Super Bowl history.
And never seen
and
that.
And the greatest teams, the 70s Steelers, the 80s 49ers, the 90s Cowboys, the Patriots in the 21st century. None of them did this. So the pursuit of it, I think, is great.
Yep.
But to Dirt's point, whether or not they pull it off or not, I don't think matters in the end.
They're an interesting franchise in the sense of, like, on this show, Dirt has openly talked about how he hates them already because they win. They cannot be stopped, it feels like. They've beaten my team twice in Super Bowls.
Twice.
And I still turn them on, and I don't feel...
You had the lead in both second halves, too.
I don't feel the animosity the way you think I would. And maybe
there's a joy... And this is from the personalities, Kelce, Mahomes, Andy Reid. There is a joy for them to go out and play. And they literally do playground, make stuff up, and they put it in a game.
I'm a big, yeah.
As opposed to the business drill down, Bill Belichick.
No days off.
No days off. We're on
your
Cincinnati.
Job.
I would acknowledge that's definitely a part of it. I'm a big team guy. The only reason I do Hood to Coast is because I love team. I don't get a lot of opportunities to do team. I think team is the greatest thing this country can provide is when you can be a part of a team. There's not a better feeling in the world than you're truly locked in and supporting everybody on it and pushing yourself.
For a common goal.
And I think they exemplify that quality that I love. Even though they're in my team's way of winning and everybody else's team's way of winning, the weird thing about them is they also have things that you can totally not like about them, but that you can, they're a weird hate-love thing, right? Like, you could just simply, as of the last controversy, quote-unquote, you could just hate him because Patrick Mahomes' wife is MAGA. You could hate him because Travis Kelce's girlfriend steals the spotlight from the entire league at every single thing she does. You can love Andy Reid because he's the fat, jolly guy. He also has questionable children in his life that do awful things. You can love Chris Jones and Mahomes and the way he talks. And then you can say, oh, they got a lot of problematic dudes off the field that are doing some pretty awful things.
Yeah.
They're such a weird franchise, and they have the love and the hate things that you could point to, and none of it matters because they keep winning. It just never matters.
It's an absolute steamroller, man. And it's remarkable to see how long they built it and how long it's maintained. And you don't imagine it's going to go anywhere, whether, you know, Kelce retires. Like, as long as Mahomes is there, and Andy Reid definitely is there, like, they're going to be in the mix every single season. I just get to hate your point of I get so tired of the narratives around really good teams and really good players in this league. And we judge them critically because they can't beat maybe the best dynasty we've seen or trending towards one of the best dynasties we've ever seen in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And that's why I largely hate them and I want to see somebody else win. Like, I want Lamar to get one, man. I want Josh Allen to get a ring. Joe Burrow's so fun. His blonde hair, dude. Marshall Mathers. I want my boy Herbert to get a ring. I want Brock.
That's like, not going to happen here. Burrow might be on the short end of the stick.
Of course they might be.
Herbert,
I'm just saying from this is why I hate them. I hate that them winning locks us into this weird mind warp of judging everybody against that standard when that standard stands out above everybody else.
Sure.
And if Mahomes wasn't in the NFL, it's funny to think how different the narrative was if he just decided to play baseball instead of football. Is Josh Allen that guy now? Is Burrow that guy? Was it Lamar? Does he have a couple of rings?
That's a fun game.
Does Jimmy Garoppolo have a Super Bowl? Does Brock Purdy have a Super Bowl? I know there's always been that guy.
Dan Marino was that guy.
I totally get it.
John Elway was for years.
I just the dynasty stuff, I get tired of it in the NFL. In the NBA, I'm a fringe fan. I love my team, well, not right now, but largely. I'm a fringe fan of the rest of the league. I need that, like, LeBron versus Steph round three. Like, that's exciting for me. Baseball's kind of the same way when my team's not involved. Football, I love it no matter who the hell's playing,
sure.
And you watch every single game.
Yes.
And I don't want to see the opening game again next year be in Kansas City. Can we play it somewhere else, for the love of God?
Well, I mean, you win it, you earn it.
Wait till that Hallmark movie comes out, too. They're going to show Taylor Swift all over TV tonight.
Well, what's funny is...
Look at that. You think she called that play, Chris? Huh? You think she drew that one up in the sand? Ha-ha! Look at that slant!
Didn't we learn to just bet the over of how many props they say they show her on TV?
How many times they're going to show her? It's nauseating.
We have to get going here, but I just find them interesting in the sense of, will they do something we haven't seen ever in any of our lives? And I find it funny that you're openly talking about how annoying it is because they cannot be stopped.
Last year, their offense was so bad in the regular season,
yes.
And they still won the Super Bowl.
Almost.
How are they getting away with this?
I remember hearing, I want to say it was NFL Live because I love that show, and I there was something to the effect of historically what their offense was. There was no model of that kind of offense winning a Super Bowl almost ever, and they did it. And so, like, their offense should be better. And as annoyed as you are by it, and as happy as Chiefs fans are, I find it interesting you're also saying them winning is better. that them winning is better for the NFL. I don't think the NFL can really
not
ever
for
be
my
knocked.
Fandom, but for the overall for the NFL. League. Like, yeah,
that's what I'm talking.
You
about.
Get three in a row like that's something we've never seen before. Mahomes is the GOAT probably at that point. I don't care about what happened in the first time he played Brady without an offensive line.
Like, I don't know how we're gauging GOATs anymore in sports.
That dude would have 4 and 3 in a row like that. That is good for the league. Good for my fandom. People, somebody's saying Dirt's oozing salt right now. I am, dude. I hate that. I hate it. I can't stand it. I want somebody to beat him. Damn it.
Salty.
I am absolutely salty, man.
But we've seen how hard it is to achieve history. The Patriots were trying to get the Dolphins' perfect record, and David Tyree happened. Yeah. So.
But then they came back and they won like three more.
I know.
That's the thing about it is if they win, right? If they three-peat, everybody's going to say they're going to four-peat, and nobody would bat an eye at that pick. But if they three-peat, what did you say? He'd have 4 and 5 seasons? Or 4 and 6?
4 and 6.
I think this is your 6.
Yeah, maybe 4 and 6.
Terry Bradshaw is, I think, the only guy that can come close to that.
I don't know if he would tie Brady with 7, but you certainly wouldn't pick against it at that point.
No. He's only, how old is Mahomes? 29?
28.
28, 29
years
old.
He's not 30 yet.
He's not going anywhere for a decade,
now,
man.
The only thing I wonder with them,
28
too,
years old. He turns 29 in 2 weeks.
He is the amazing thing of all of, like, the most amazing part. Chris Jones is obviously awesome. Reed, Kelsey. Like, I do wonder, does it start to slip? If they don't do it this year, then that's a different conversation. But if they were to win it, what is the point you'd say, I don't know anymore? Because he's awesome. He's going to remain awesome. But like when Kelsey retires, that's going to matter, man. Like that guy wasn't as good and yet almost had 1,000 receiving yards last year and then was a monster in the AFC title game and Super Bowl.
He was.
We thought maybe Tyreek Hill leaving would do it. It didn't matter. They won anyway. So is it Chris Jones?
See, to me, there's Kelsey? Nothing. I don't think there's anything.
See, it has to start mattering with some of those guys.
That's what I would have argued last year. That's what I would have argued.
But they at least still had Kelsey. They had Chris Jones. Like, that made sense to me.
Go find the next one, man. You can't kill them. They're a damn cockroach.
That's a good poll question. Can you kill the Kansas City Chiefs, or are they a cockroach?
The answer is no, unfortunately.
Well, they kick off the season. We'll have a little bit more NFL things to get to. I had some other notes I didn't get to talk about in that segment. They kick off the year against Baltimore tonight. Obviously, we're really excited about it. Should Mike Leach have a statue? We'll get to some of that coming up. It is a busy program. We'll get to it more next.
All right, I got the grid all ready to go on my show sheet for our NFL picks at the top of the hour. Will we flip it? Will we stick it? We'll find out throughout the course of the year.
Flip it or stick it. I love it. The midway point of sports years.
Our big PP picks coming up at 8:15, so stay tuned for that. P1 Roger has chimed in saying, thanks, guys. No point in watching the NFL now because the Swifties and Kermit will kill it again. Salty Niner fan, love the show. Yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. No point. Just, you know.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
We'll see you next year, guys. We'll see you next year.
It's becoming increasingly hard for me, too. Like, I'm watching the Super Bowl with my wife. I got Niner gear on. I am, like, anxiously walking around, nerves. I want them to win. Also, like week 7, 8, 9, Lions are winning, and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like becoming. I'm Niner fan, but like I love a lot of storylines of the NFL.
Dude, that was why last year the opening game of the season was so fun, because the Lions were that big hype team. They had not made the playoffs, but you know, in their minds, kind of made the playoffs by knocking the Packers out of the playoffs the year before.
That's why I want the Houston Texans tonight over the Ravens.
I know. It would have been either way. It'll be a great game. But when the Lions went into Kansas City and won, it was like, dude, you could feel the emotion. That was such a big deal for them to be in the opening game of the season to win, to beat the defending champs. And so you can get some great storylines. Let me ask you this. So we were talking about Mahomes. I want to get to Mike Leach here in a moment. NFL picks top of the hour. If you were to identify as of September 5th at 7:40 in the morning, the biggest threat in the AFC to keep Kansas City from doing the thing that I don't want to see them do, which is win another championship, is Baltimore our primary candidate right now, or are we that confident in somebody else?
Well, I like a few teams' chances to do it. My you could call it lukewarm take. Maybe it wasn't as spicy, but my take was Kansas City doesn't make the conference championship game this year.
It'd be incredible.
And that may not sound like a hot take. He's been in that game every year since he's been a starter. So I think that's a reasonable take. You can make arguments for multiple teams. I think the best odds, I don't know why it wouldn't be Baltimore. I think going in, until we see what Buffalo is, post Stephon Diggs, post a lot of those guys defensively, they replaced.
Where are we at on a healthy Joe Burrow, who now has, after yesterday's practice, Ja'Marr Chase back in uniform?
That's certainly a huge boost for them. Joe Burrow being healthy is also something like, I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. There's, you know, maybe lingering things. That injury is not an easy thing to come back from. Houston's getting a lot of love. Harbaugh at the Chargers, I don't think they can contend this year, but Harbaugh turned the Niners around quicker than people thought they would. There's
some
interesting
Colts
teams.
Stay healthy.
The Colts, well, yeah. The Jags going to choke down the end of the season the way they did last year.
Tua got his money.
Is Miami going to be a sleeper? You can make arguments for a lot of
teams. The AFC's deeper than the NFC. There's more good teams in the AFC.
It's not a better quarterback play, too.
Yeah. But it's Baltimore.
Baltimore is still the
it
team.
It has to be Baltimore.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. I'm really excited to see how they look tonight. I think that is why, I think we all would have loved to see Houston, kind of an upstart last year, young quarterback, give CJ Stroud that spotlight. Save this Kansas City Baltimore game for like a week 14 Monday night game where they're both 11-2 or, you know, whatever the case, and number one seed in the AFC is on the line.
See, I was hoping the Sunday night game would be Baltimore and the Chargers and the Harbaugh Bowl to welcome Jim Harbaugh back.
Now, is that a Christmas game, the Harbaugh Bowl?
It might be. The Harbaugh Bowl might
I know
be
it's on TV.
Game.
It's one of the primetime games this
Ravens
year.
Ravens and Niners play.
No,
or
Ravens
Chargers,
and,
excuse
Chargers,
me.
Yeah.
It's a Thanksgiving game.
Yeah, that's what it was. I knew it was a holiday game.
I think it's the third game of the Thanksgiving slate.
Harbaugh Bowl for dessert?
I believe. Hold on, let me check. It's 11:25 at 5:15. I think that's Thanksgiving.
Whipped cream and the Harbaughs in a bowl? That's Let's right. go, man.
Get
I'm eating that all
pie
day.
Going.
Not a Thanksgiving game. Okay. I'm an idiot. It is the Monday night of Thanksgiving week. Leading into,
going into Thanksgiving.
So Thanksgiving's that Thursday. It's Monday the 25th. So I just saw the 25th. That has to be Thanksgiving. But no, it's just a Monday night game in late November.
Well, how often do Mondays just seem boring to you? Now you go home on a Monday and you got a Harbaugh.
You got a Harbaugh going on, man. That's going to be great. I actually think they kind of nailed their prime opening slate this week. Like tonight's game, we can disagree on who should have been. Like, awesome game. AFC title rematch. Tomorrow night is Packers and Eagles.
That's going to be wild.
Do they ever? I mean, I'm asking seriously.
I mean, there's
how
times
they miss?
When the Giants and Cowboys are on Sunday Night Football. They will whiff because nobody wants to see that, but it'll bring home a great number anyways. Rams and Lions, Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, that's
awesome game. And then you get the Aaron Rodgers going back home to the Bay Area. Will he pop his Achilles four plays in again? Is he high on ayahuasca? Like, great opening slate of primetime games. So I can't wait. I'm very excited to see Baltimore. I'm trying to talk myself out of gambling on the Ravens tonight.
I think I'm staying away from this game.
You gave me the number, though, of Lamar as an underdog.
12-1-1 as an underdog
I'm
in the Ravens.
I'm sure it's how going to be rooting
Super
for
Bowl
him.
Champions 0-3 against the spread the last three seasons.
Ooh. It's also a round number, too. It's like right at three. There's no half here.
I know. Give me 2.5, and I'm all over it.
Three and a half.
Sorry, yeah. 3.5, and I'm all over it. Yeah. So I can't wait for tonight. Let's take a quick break in the NFL combos. We will get back to it at the top of the hour when we make our picks. Does Mike Leach deserve a statue in Pullman? And what school do you think of when his name comes up? We'll give you the results so far on the poll question. Talk a little bit about a special weekend in Pullman. That's next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you as always by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, or online at crunch.com. Our NFL picks coming up at the top of the hour for the season. We'll laugh at each other throughout the course of the year about how stupid we are, and we will make our big PP picks coming up at 8:15. Big game going on this weekend. It's not a very good weekend of college football. Michigan, Texas, good game. Like Nebraska, Colorado might be the second best game, but I don't even know how good of a game that is.
Tennessee, NC State?
Tennessee, NC State's pretty good. Pretty good little game,
could
but
be a blowout.
NC State almost lost to Western Carolina in their first game, and Tennessee played Chattanooga, so we'll see how that one goes. An under-the-radar game for me, and we will pick it actually coming up here in a few moments, is Washington State hosting Texas Tech, a chance against a Power Four opponent for the Cougs. It is a primetime game, but nationally televised game on Fox, 7 o'clock kick. So all these teams are playing kind of late night games.
All
you have
our
to
local
rotate.
Teams, yeah.
What time's a Husky game this weekend? Does anybody know?
I mean, nobody play Eastern Michigan, so I kind of didn't care to check.
I didn't care to check either.
They should win that game.
But I know Oregon's at 7. You guys are Oregon State's at 7:30, and the Washington State game's at 7 on Fox. And they're putting Mike Leach into the Washington State Hall of Fame, and they're honoring Mike Leach, the Pirate, this weekend. We were joking earlier about what the statue should be of Leach if they put one up. Somebody said it should be a statue of a fat little girlfriend sitting under a, what does he say, a lemonade tree? Is that what the drop is in that open?
Oh, yeah.
There's a random girl under a tree. Like, what is that statue of? You wouldn't get it.
Do you put a fat little girl under a lemonade tree and a football player just looking at her lovingly?
I think so. I think that's a pretty good Mike Lee statue. But it is a good reminder. We had a text that came in just about what he meant for Washington State and what he did for that university. He said, as a Coug alum, yes, Leach deserves a statue. It's not just about the wins. He transformed the program, brought it to national recognition and respect from a time where we were a laughingstock. Now, we put up a poll question yesterday. Who do you think of first with Mike Leach, Texas Tech or Washington State? I'll give you the answers, but where is, or the results, but where's your answer?
Mine is Washington State.
Wazoo.
There's a lot of interesting things you can find on Cougar Twitter and Mike Leach stuff if you search it out. And one point is, he just seemed a little happier at Washington State. Texas Tech, I think he's younger. He's more in the, I'm going to win the Big 12. And couldn't quite get through. Came close a couple times with some of those teams. But it ended with Craig James's kid in a closet. Yeah. And, you know, it just wasn't a really good ending for him. And Washington State gave him the lifeline. And my memory, even though it was a weird start at Washington State, he was good. And then it was disappointing, and then it was, and then it became good and consistent, and he built it up. I just have memories of a happy Mike Leach, more so an angry, super hyper-competitive Mike Leach that couldn't quite break through in a really tough conference. And so I go Washington State. And also, we just got to talk about and see it week to week during college football.
Yeah, we had an up-close look at it.
We got to interview him a few times. He was always delightful to talk to. He's got memorable press conferences with mascot fights.
Yeah.
I go Washington State, even though it was 2 years less than he was at Tech.
And the overall record better at Tech, too. But I'd have to go look. I don't know what shape the Texas Tech program was in when he took over. His first year there was in 2000. He was there for 10 seasons. He was 40 games above 500 at Texas Tech. And slightly above 500.
What year was his first year at Texas Tech?
2000 was his first year.
I'll give you an idea.
He was there from 2000 to 2009. He was fired after that 2009 season because of the Craig James kid incident.
So prior to 2000.
Yeah, what are we looking at in the late 90s?
We had Spike. Is that Sonny's dad?
Spike Dykes?
Spike Dykes.
You say, excuse me?
No, I'm quite literally Spike Dykes.
Okay.
Spike Dykes in the Big 12 was 6-5. 7-5.
Well,
7-5. 9-3. Spike Dykes, 9-3.
Not bad. Spike Dykes, good coach.
God, Spike Dykes was there a very long time. I just don't have a memory of those Spike Dykes teams. And then before that, it was some Jerry Moore, Rex Dockery. Okay. It's not a very good program. Largely 7-5, 9-3.
But better than, I think the larger point there would be better than the job that he took over at Washington State. Because Washington State
Leach
was.
Leach upped it from Spike Dykes.
Dude, when he upped it for sure. But he wasn't taking over a winless Washington State program or a gutter Washington, like he did when he took. He wasn't taking over a Texas Tech program that was in the gutter the way that he was when
Paul
he took
Wolf
over Washington
drove
State.
That, thing
that was
the
as bad
ground,
as you
dude.
Could possibly. It was like Jonathan Smith taking over Oregon State after Gary Anderson, and you got to totally rebuild it. And it took him 3 or 4 years. They finally got to 9 wins in 2015. Once he got it humming, he won 9 games in 15, 8 games in 16, 9 games in 17. Had the 11-2 year in 2018. And then they slipped a little bit the next year without Gardner Minshew, and they went 6-7, losing their bowl game.
Yep.
And then he ultimately left for Mississippi State. But he had a 5-year stretch there where they were humming at a very high level and one of the best stretches we've ever seen in Washington State history. I think I agree with you that Washington State's the first place that I think of.
What's the poll result so far?
It is Wazoo running away with it. Now, part of that is our audience that we're polling. 75% of people say the Cougs.
It would be interesting. Because you put this in Texas, it's probably going to be Texas.
Or just if you had a national poll question of what do you think of first.
I'd be curious on that. The national,
I think it'd be close.
Yeah, well, I think it'd definitely be close because I think you can make arguments for both. The higher success was at Texas Tech. Everybody will remember the Crabtree play.
Yes, the win over Colt McCoy in Texas.
At the buzzer. And also, like, a game day and Minshew magic and Luke Falk, I'll never forget his first start, was against my Beavs, and he torched them.
Threw it like 77 times in a game.
throw
pissing
ball.
Off Nick Aliotti.
How dare you throw it that many times a game?
I forgot about
One
that.
One of the all-time weirdest things to be mad about.
How dare you throw the football so much?
Are you 81 times? Are you kidding me? What did you want him to do?
This isn't real football.
Air raid coach.
Run the ball.
He's also just a fascinating dude. What his interests were, what he talked about. His coaching philosophies, his style, almost left to Tennessee, but they backed out of that deal. And then you know, kind of weirdly just left for Mississippi State because I think he wanted to go to the SEC. It was
I mean, he
kind
was close on
him.
Tennessee, remember? And then the fans
That's
boycott.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They heard that he was going to get hired, and they're like, don't you dare. And they pulled it. So I'm really going to be happy that he's going to get his shine this weekend. I hope that they can beat Texas Tech. It's a great, perfect game to do this for.
7 o'clock. Crowd should be great. Weather's perfect.
Now, my buddy texted in earlier on my phone and said, statues are given for people who are dead. And I think he's probably largely right, but I would say, I think in this instance, even if Leach, well, you wouldn't give it to him because he was coaching, I guess, but even if he was alive and retired, I think he gets a statue.
I am all for statues for alive people. So
yeah,
that they can see the statue. Like, that's the whole point of the statue.
But then what if you're Ronaldo and you've put in all this plastic surgery work to look like an Adonis, and your statue is just outright ugly.
I mean, I'm not saying they get every statue right. You have the mini Allen Iverson statue. Remember that one in Philly? Isn't that one like tiny or something? So
I can never see the resemblance in the Hall of Fame busts.
No, I can't either. I have a hard time doing it.
Every time I see it, I'm like, that doesn't look like him at all.
But like, think of Griffey up in Seattle when they put that statue in and he's there and unveiling it and taking pictures. Like, that's cool. Like, you meant that much to us that you will forever be cemented in the legacy of this franchise. And I, you know, we kind of joked about it when it happened a few years ago. TCU did this with Gary Patterson. They built a statue of Gary Patterson. And then they ended up firing him as their head coach a couple of years later. But he was so good for so long that it made sense. And I'm like, that's cool, dude. Like, honor him. He's been such a pivotal part of your program and the history of it. We saw it in Philly. He had the Doug Peterson, Nick Foles statue that was built after the Super Bowl. They're still alive. So I'm like, Mike Leach is gone. He'll never see it if they build it. But if I were a Cougs fan, I would be A-okay with building the Pirate a statue, man. That was a fun era of Washington State football, and he brought you from the depths of despair to relevancy and notoriety and awesome, fun football to watch. Some great Pac-12 After Dark games. It'll be fun to honor him this weekend.
I think my statue ultimately is Butch T. Cougar hugging or standing next to him with his arm around Mike Leach, who's wearing the sombrero.
Yes. That's a good statue.
That's the statue I think I want that kind of shows you what this time was. It was wild. It was a party. It was a lot of fun.
What a ride.
Very memorable.
One of my favorite bets this weekend, if I go gamble college, Washington State.
Are they getting points?
They're 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
I love
that. Tech looked pretty...
That's a Coug win right there. I'm calling it right now. You heard it here first.
Man.
That environment's going to be awesome. We will make that pick and the other picks coming up in 15 minutes. Our NFL picks kick out the final hour. It is loaded. NFL football is back. Thanks for being with us. Final hour next on 1080 The Fam.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.